WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheer Show.
Sometimes I feel like a ketchup bottle, you know, you want to say the right thing and you can't say it, and you're like, when I hit the back of your head to get the words out properly.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Go ahead, you have an example of that?
Well, at the end of the last show, I tried to get something out too quick, and I don't think I said it properly. We were talking about this Jesus Christ faith.
Yeah.
And I made a comment at the end there regarding his life would be of no value without his death. And I want to rephrase that so I can get this off my chest, because
okay.
It bothered me.
Yeah, that massive chest of yours.
Yeah, it bothered me since we left here yesterday. But it says, and I made the comment that we're justified, that God's righteousness is through Jesus Christ's faith.
Yeah, and what a great relief that is to us.
And that meant that he believed God.
Yeah, thank God.
He was the perfect offering, because he was sinless. He knew no sin, did no sin. There in
Beautiful.
Him was no sin.
Beautiful.
And but the point I wanted to make, because it goes on in verse, as we pointed out, when you get this far in the verse, being justified gratuitously in his grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus, whom God purposed for a propitiatory shelter through faith in his blood. And I wanted to connect that perfect life would be of no value to us without him shedding his blood.
Okay.
Without him dying. He could have gone from earth to heaven any time in his life, from Bethlehem, from the manger to Calvary. But if he did not go to that cross, we would not reap the benefits of his perfections.
And you really ask yourself, why the cross? I mean, that's a basic question, but I tie that in with Jesus Christ's faith. I mean, it gave him, it was such a demonstration of his trust in his Father that his Father would raise him from the dead.
Yeah.
And that's a key to seeing, well, we can talk about the death of Christ, but we need to move on. But that's a key to seeing the faith of Christ, that he was letting go on that cross, and he was putting all his trust in his Father. And it's the fact that it's from that venue, oh my gosh, on the cross, naked, nailed to a stake, a most horrible thing you could imagine, and even from there he trusts his Father. The faith of Christ stuns us because of the venue.
Yeah. I got it off my chest now. I feel
Good.
Much better.
Good.
Now, we talked about Jesus Christ's faith. We've been talking about Viagra.
You've been talking about Viagra.
I know.
I can't wait to hear about
it. I got the blue
this.
Pill on my mind. Now, today we are going to get to Viagra and justification. And it's all connected. You're going to see how connected it is.
I can't wait to see.
Now, in Romans 3, we have the phrase Jesus Christ's faith. Now, Romans 4:16. And maybe we'll have to go back and expound this another time, but I want to start at verse 16. Paul says, therefore, it is of faith that it may accord with grace for the promise to be confirmed to the entire seed, not to those of the law only, but to those also of the faith of Abraham. You see that phrase, the faith of Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
Same exact phrase where we read Jesus Christ's faith.
Okay.
We've just been talking about justification, and God gives us now through Paul an example of somebody like us. We are not Jesus Christ.
Oh, wait a minute. WWJD, don't I have to do
right.
what Jesus
now,
did?
Now we have an example of a person just like you and I who, you know, they love sin and they roll it around in their mouth like a sweet morsel and just love it. You know,
that's
Abraham's one of those examples.
Yeah.
And so Abraham had faith. And what was his faith? What is this example that God gives of Abraham? And if you don't mind, I'm going to get behind the wheel here and steer for a little bit.
Go for
it. He says, who is the father of us all? Abraham is the father of us all. In what sense? It says, according as it is written, a father of many nations have I appointed you. This is what God says about Abraham. Facing which, now you have to have the Concordant version to get this right.
Yeah, those are good words right there.
What is Abraham facing?
A promise.
God said something to Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise.
Right, not a challenge, a promise.
Not a challenge, a promise. And Abraham faced it. Right?
Yeah.
Facing which, he believes it of the God who is vivifying the dead and calling what is not as if it were. That's great.
Yeah.
Was Abraham a father of many nations at this point?
Not at the time.
No.
He had no son.
Here's where the Viagra is going to come in.
Yeah, because he had no kids.
Sarah's womb was no good.
No.
And Abraham...
That's a nice way of putting it.
And Abraham couldn't even get an erection.
Where do you see that?
We're going to get into that.
What verse?
We're
going to
say, and for those of you who are squeamish out there, yes, come on, get a life. You see more than this on TV. God speaks of these things. This is important. This is not perverted and dirty. Don't let the devil have sex. This is God's invention.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about
sex. Good. This is too good for the devil.
And so here we say, he goes, facing which he believes it of God, who is vivifying the dead and calling what is not as if it were. Who being beyond expectation, Abraham, all human expectation is gone for him.
How old was he at this time?
About 100. Now, Abraham had no hope.
For what?
Having children.
Right.
It was beyond human. This is the best part of it.
Yeah.
Beyond expectation. God waits for man to be beyond expectation. In other words, he waits for man to come to an end of himself. We talked about this with Israel as a test case before.
Yeah.
Who being beyond expectation, that's humanly speaking, believes in expectation for him to become the father of many nations according to that which has been declared, thus shall be your seed. Abraham faced the facts. He said, I can't do it. I'm dead. So God says it, I believe it.
And the facts came first. Most people say, I believe it, that settles it. That's wrong. No, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Leave out Leave out the I believe it. When God says it, that settles it. Abraham faced the promise.
So he faced this promise, and not being infirm in faith, he considers his body already deadened.
Did they have mirrors back there? He considered his body. I picture him actually looking down.
Yeah.
I take this literally. Abraham considers his body. He looks down and he goes, oh, crap.
You know, in that Viagra commercial,
yeah,
it's always about when the right moment comes, you and your wife. And that time comes, are you going to be ready for it? In other words, are you going to be able to perform? And that's the point of Viagra.
Every man considers his body. And here's Abraham considering his, looking down and go, what?
He's going, oh, no. He considers his body already deadened, being inherently somewhere about 100 years. By the way, in Genesis,
deadened. Boy,
when God told Sarah that she's going to have a child, she goes, am I going to have this pleasure? My Lord being old also. In other words, we're too old to do it.
We're too old to do it.
That was the issue.
And that's a nice word here, deadened. Considered his body was already deadened.
Being inherently somewhere about 100 years old and deadening, and the deadening of the matrix of Sarah.
Yeah, she's out of it.
Okay. Yet the promise of God was not doubted in unbelief. You ready? Here's the Viagra. Give me a drum roll.
Let me do another drum roll. Drum roll. We're not going to entrust you with that. I tried that once.
Give me the drum roll. But he was invigorated by faith. There's the Viagra. Invigorated. Viagra. Invigorated.
Big. There's the word. Big.
That word, invigorated. He was given inward strength. Inward strength. He was invigorated by faith. To do what?
Faith gave him an erection.
Exactly.
He had a faith erection. I mean, literally. Look at this. He's considering his body. We're talking about having a kid, having a son.
Right.
We're talking about the promises of God. Abraham considers his body. He looks down because the mirrors weren't too good.
Then
he has to look down. It's dead. It's gone.
He's not talking about how his face looks.
He's not talking
or how
about
far
some...
he can throw a football.
No. He's talking specifically about having a son. He looks down at his...
Yes.
Yeah, nothing happening.
Nothing happening.
And yet he's invigorated, and what's the context? He's invigorated by the Spirit. So the Spirit of God worked on his flesh, and there's no way to make it happen, folks, unless you're viagrated.
Invigorated. And so he's invigorated by faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured also that what he had promised, he is able to do also. Wherefore also it is reckoned to him for righteousness. Abraham couldn't even have sexual pleasure. He couldn't get an erection.
Couldn't get it up.
God told him he's going to have all these kids.
Yeah.
Abraham looked at himself and says,
How?
I can't. God says, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about
it. And so Abraham faced what God said and said, God says it. That settles it.
And so one day he looks at Sarah and he wanders into the tent, and all of a sudden she looks pretty good. She was a beautiful woman.
By the way, this is exactly what happened. This is no exaggeration.
No, I mean, we're not making this up. I mean, well, it's not, we're reading between the lines, but we're not making it up.
This is what happened.
This is what happened.
All of a sudden, one day, they're getting together. They may have embraced. All of a sudden, Abraham says, Sarah says, oh, Abraham.
Yeah, he had given up on that. It's like, okay, at least she can cook. You know, at least she has a, you know, at least she can cook. I mean, but now he's interested in something besides her cooking all of a sudden.
Exactly.
And look at this word invigorate in the Greek. It's endunamo. The elements, the English elements are make in able.
Make in able.
Make in able. I like the active verb, make. Make in able. God made Abraham.
Now that dunamo comes, we use the word dynamite.
Yeah, we use the word dynamite. That's the root word. That's where it comes from.
There were some fireworks going on that night,
baby.
Tent,
baby.
That's it.
Midnight at the Oasis.
And now, so that's the example God gives for justification. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, right where the rubber meets the road.
Right
I didn't mean to I didn't mean it that way. There's no safe
but now
sex
listen,
being practiced
but
here.
But how does that apply to us now? Let's bring it to us.
Okay.
Verse 23. Now it was not written because of him only that it was reckoned to him, God reckoned him righteous, but because of us also to whom it is about to be reckoned, who are believing on him, who rouses Jesus our Lord from among the dead, who was given up because of our offenses and was roused because of our justifying. Here's the difference between Abraham and us today. Abraham believed a promise that God was going to do something. You and I don't believe a promise that God is going to do something. We look back to a work that was already accomplished.
Right.
We look back to what God has already done through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. And Abraham looked forward for God to fulfilling a promise. You and I look back to a finished work. How are we like Abraham in all this? Abraham couldn't perform sexually. Couldn't get an erection. But he God called things that weren't as though they were. And the same with you and I today. You and I are not righteous. How can we be called righteous? We're not righteous. We're sinners. We love sin, and we don't honor God. We don't give him glory. The world as a whole has gone into idolatry and self-love and all this other stuff. And yet at that very moment we're falling short. We're wanting of the glory of God. That very moment God declares us righteous. He calls what is not as though it were.
And he doesn't ask us to believe nothing. He asks us to believe facts. We're not facing nothing. We're not facing some wispy thing that we hope is true. We're facing a fact. Abraham faced a promise. We face a fact. Again, God's fact comes before our faith. Faith is not the engine that leads you. God's revealed fact. That is what we believe in. It's dependable. God does not lie. And so it pleases God simply to have our faith be as the caboose that latches on to his revelation.
Woo-wee. Viagra,
I'm feeling good.
Has been covered.
We've done it. I feel good about this week. I think we
accomplished something. We want to hear from y'all. Go to I was giving my old website, paulsevangel.com. You can email questions. We hope you're listening. Let us know you're listening.
I'm Martin Zender. You can listen to this show at martinzender.com. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Have a great weekend.